English USA vous présente African Voices in Conversation, des conversations en anglais qui ont attrait à la vie quotidienne au Sénégal. Robin, une journaliste canadienne, fait un reportage sur des critères de choix de candidats politiques. Elle tend son micro à trois personnes qui donnent leur avis et des critères de choix, parfois surprenants. Écoutons ce micro-trottoir. Nous allons écouter Robin et ses trois interviewés. Vous répondrez vrai ou faux, true or false, à ces deux énoncés. 1. L'habillement des candidats est important pour Mariam. 2. Pour Jacques, le niveau d'éducation des candidats est moins important que leur programme. Vous répondrez ensuite à ces trois questions. 1. De quel genre de candidat ne veut pas Mariam? 2. Qui mort regarde-t-il? 3. Qu'est-ce que tous les candidats ont d'après Jacques? Vous allez enfin apprendre à exprimer une intention en utilisant le futur avec « will ». Nous allons écouter Robin et ses trois interviewés.
Hello, listeners. I'm Robin Dwight. Today, I will be speaking to three very different people about how people choose a candidate during an election in this part of the world. Mariam, let's start with you.
The way a candidate dresses is very important to me. The right candidate must have elegance and use body language. Their hands, their voice, and their eyes are extremely important.
Moore, what do you think?
It's simple. I'll look at their wives or husbands. If they look happy, good. That means the candidates will make us happy.
Oh, come on.
Jacques, it sounds like you disagree. What do you look for in a candidate?
Most importantly, I consider the education level. We don't want ignorant people in office. We need educated candidates with a good program.
But Jacques, we can't trust their programs. Many candidates have nice promises and nice manners, but they will change their programs once they're elected.
Why not vote for the candidate you know personally? I will vote for my neighbor. He's a good candidate and a nice neighbor.
But he's not very handsome. And I don't like his accent.
I will vote for a candidate who will reduce prices and raise workers' salary.
Jacques, you don't agree.
Of course, I disagree. I have no salary. I run a small business, so I will vote for the candidate who will increase prices and decrease salaries.
Jacques, I'm so glad you're not a candidate. Nous avons entendu Robin s'entretenir avec Mariam, Maure et Jacques. L'énoncé 1 est vrai. L'habillement des candidats est important pour Mariam. L'énoncé 2 est faux. Pour Jacques, le niveau d'éducation des candidats est moins important que leur programme. Voilà les réponses aux questions. 1. De quel genre de candidat ne veut pas Mariam? De candidat ignorant. 2. Qui mort regarde-t-il? Les femmes des candidats et les maris des candidates. 3. Qu'est-ce que tous les candidats ont, d'après Jacques? Une bonne éducation et de belles promesses. Écoutez et répétez ces phrases de Mort et de Jacques.
I will vote for my neighbor. I will vote for a candidate who will reduce prices.
I will vote for the candidate who will increase prices.
Maure et Jacques ont utilisé le futur simple avec will, qui est invariable à toutes les personnes. On pourrait dire, he will change the law. He will improve agriculture. Ce futur exprime des intentions, pas des actions certaines à venir. Vous pouvez aussi utiliser la contraction I'll ou he'll, etc. pour exprimer les actions futures et des intentions. Par exemple, I'll vote for my neighbor. He'll change the law. You'll make me proud. Vous avez entendu Robin et ses invités. Vous avez vu que les critères de sélection d'un candidat peuvent être très différents. Vous savez aussi exprimer des intentions avec will. Et vous, pour quel candidat voterez-vous? Pour plus de renseignements au sujet des cours d'anglais, Learning English, allez au site internet suivant à americanenglish.state.gov ou à voalearningenglish.com. Welcome to Business English. Bienvenue à notre émission consacrée à l'anglais commercial aux États-Unis. Dans ce programme, vous participerez à des voyages d'affaires, à des conversations téléphoniques, à l'échange de messages e-mail et à des interviews. Au micro, Michel Joseph. Deux questions d'étiquette dans le milieu des affaires. Première question, les Américains dans les milieux d'affaires utilisent-ils leur prénom ou leur nom de famille?
Do Americans usually use their first name or last name in business?
First name, c'est le prénom. My first name is Michelle. Last name, nom de famille. My last name is Joseph. What is your first name? Quel est votre prénom? À vous de me répondre. What is your first name? What is your last name? Quel est votre nom de famille? Répondez-moi. What is your last name? Comme vous allez entendre, pour Gary, c'est une question difficile.
This is a difficult question. To be safe, use the name that the other person gives you.
This is a difficult question. C'est une question difficile. To be safe, use the name that the other person gives you. Pour être sûr de ne pas faire une gaffe, to be safe, donnez-lui le nom qu'il ou elle se donne, le prénom ou le nom de famille. Gary dit, quand il se présente, please call me Gary. Veuillez m'appeler Gary. Please call me Gary. C'est ainsi que vous donnez la permission à l'autre personne de vous appeler d'une certaine façon. Écoutons la conversation qui suit à propos de la première question.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Hello, Gary. Our listeners have sent in some email questions, Gary. Our first question is, do Americans usually use their first name or last name in business?
Well, this is a difficult question. To be safe, use the name that the other person gives you. I always say, please call me Gary.
Gary dit, I always say, je dis toujours, always. I always say, please call me Gary. Littéralement, s'il vous plaît, s'il te plaît, appelle-moi Gary. Appelle-moi Gary. Please call me Miss Joseph. Please call me Mrs. Joseph. Ce qui nous amène à la prochaine question d'étiquette. Elizabeth demande à Gary, when speaking with women in business, quand on parle à des femmes dans un contexte d'affaires ou professionnel,
when speaking with women in business, when should we use Miss, Mrs. or Ms?
When should we use, quand doit-on se servir de? When should we use Miss, Mrs. or Ms? Miss, mademoiselle, ou comme le dit Gary, for single women, pour les femmes célibataires. Single women. Les femmes célibataires, miss. Ou bien, Mrs., madame. For married women, pour les femmes mariées. For married women.
Well, miss is for single women. Mrs. is for married women.
Ou encore, Ms. Un mot nouveau qui est neutre et n'implique pas le statut de célibataire ou de marié à la femme en question.
Ms. is easier to use than Mrs. or Miss because you don't have to know whether or not a woman is married.
Écoutez la conversation qui suit.
Our next question is, when speaking with women in business, when should we use Miss, Mrs., or Ms.?
Well, Miss is for single women. Mrs. is for married women. Ms. is easier to use than Mrs. or Miss because you don't have to know whether or not a woman is married. I always use Ms. because with Ms., I usually don't offend people.
What do most American women in business prefer?
I believe that most American women prefer Ms.
Thank you, Gary.
Finissez la phrase. Vous allez entendre le début et vous devez terminer la phrase. Écoutez et finissez la phrase.
Some people use their first name in business, but others prefer to use their last name.
Le nom de famille.
They prefer to use their last name.
Le nom de famille.
Most American women prefer to be addressed as Ms. They prefer to be addressed as Ms.
Ms, c'est neutre.
In the past, people used to address all married women as Mrs.
Et c'est tout pour cette leçon de Business English, l'anglais commercial. That's it for today. Until next time, à la prochaine fois.
Hey there, hello.
VOA Afrique vous présente Learning English, un programme entièrement en anglais, tous les soirs, pour vous aider à vous familiariser avec cette langue. Vous retrouverez dans ce programme la lecture posée, les phrases et le vocabulaire spécialement choisis pour faciliter la compréhension de l'anglais parlé. Et donc, rendez-vous sur VOA Afrique pour plus d'anglais avec Learning English à partir de 21h30 TU après English USA sur FM sur VOA Afrique. Cette fois-ci, nous sommes à un mariage. A wedding. Mark Lerner va interviewer un vieillard, an old man, un centenaire. Le jour du mariage de son arrière-petit-fils, great-grandson. Vous apprendrez à vous informer de l'état de santé des gens autour de vous et aussi à comprendre par quelles expériences ils ont passé. English USA est diffusé en direct de Washington, au micro Michel Joseph. Nous verrons aujourd'hui comment Martin va interviewer un centenaire, an old man who is 100 years old. À l'occasion du mariage de son arrière-petit-fils, his great-grandson's wedding. Il va aussi interroger la famille. How is Mr. Bishop? Comment va Monsieur Bishop? He's fine, he looks good. Il va bien. Il a bonne mine.
Hello, Mrs. Willis. I want to thank you for inviting me to the wedding and the reception.
You're welcome. I wanted you to see my grandfather with the family.
Is family very important to him?
Family is very important to him. And he's very important to the family. He's the one that wanted you to come to the wedding.
How is Mr. Bishop today?
He's wonderful. He loves a celebration. Of course, he pays for it later.
What do you mean he pays for it later?
He eats too much. He drinks too much. He gets tired very quickly. Look at him now.
He's the center of attention.
After the bride and groom, he's the most popular guest. Have you met the bride and groom?
I know the bride. I met the groom only briefly.
I forgot. Of course you know the bride. She's a friend of your family.
That's right. I've known the family for years. I'd like to talk to the groom.
Certainly. Come with me.
Not
Troy, I'd like you to meet Mr. Lerner.
Oh, hi. You're the reporter here to talk to Great-Grandpa Jack.
That's right. And congratulations to you.
Thanks. Isn't my wife beautiful?
Yes. You're very lucky.
You want to talk about Grandpa Jack, not the bride, don't you?
I don't mind talking about the bride. She's the one that I know already. But I do want to talk about your great-grandfather. How is he?
He's fine. He's very old, of course. He's 100 years old.
He looks very good. Is he healthy?
Quite. He exercises. He watches what he eats. He's very thin, but not too thin. My mother takes good care of him. Have you talked to him?
Not yet.
Would you like to meet him now?
Of course, but I don't want to interrupt.
That's all right. He's talking to neighbors.
I'll introduce myself. You get back to Melissa.
Thanks.
Hello there.
Good afternoon. I'm Martin Lerner.
Jack Bishop.
How are you, Mr. Bishop?
I'm perfect.
Perfect. That's wonderful.
For 100-year-old.
Quand on parle de la santé d'un individu ou d'une personne, on peut demander s'il a l'air bien ou non, comment il se sent ou ce qu'il fait dans la vie courante. On peut le demander à la personne elle-même. How are you? How are you, Mr. Bishop? Comment allez-vous, Monsieur Bishop, par exemple? Ou à quelqu'un autour de lui. How is Mr. Bishop today? Comment va Monsieur Bishop aujourd'hui? Écoutez, Martin.
How is Mr. Bishop today? How is he? Is he healthy? How are you, Mr. Bishop?
Pouvez-vous maintenant vous informer de la santé de quelqu'un? Demandez à Martin comment vont les personnes qu'il va présenter. Commencez vos questions par « How is ?» Par exemple, il vous dira « That's Mr. Jack Bishop. » Et vous, vous allez répondre à Martin « How is Mr. Jack Bishop ?» Ou bien vous allez lui dire « How is his health ?» Comment va sa santé ? Exerçons-nous à nous informer de l'état de santé de quelqu'un. Mettez-vous à la place de Martin Lerner, vous êtes en famille, et ce qui vous intéresse, c'est l'état de santé de quelqu'un qui est plus âgé. Par exemple, vous demanderez à votre frère, qui est là près de votre grand-père plus souvent que vous, vous lui demanderez « How is grandfather? How is grandfather? » Comment va grand-père? How is his health? Comment va sa santé? Il se peut que votre frère réponde, He's fine. Et vous, vous répondrez aussi, He looks good. Il a bonne mine. He looks good. Et le frère, votre frère, répondra encore en affirmatif, He's doing well. Il va très bien. He is doing well. En général, quand on demande « How is he ?» ou bien « How is she ?» cela implique la santé, c'est-à-dire au-delà de comment va la personne tous les jours. Comment va-t-elle vraiment ? Comment va sa santé ? Comment se porte-t-elle ? Et revenons encore un peu à la santé, et cette fois-ci, moins positivement. Imaginez-vous que le grand-père réponde différemment. Alors, vous demandez au grand-père, « Hi, granddad !» Comment vas-tu, grand-père ?« Hi, granddad !»« How do you feel ?»« How's your health ?» Tout d'abord, « How do you feel ?» Contraction pour « How do you feel ?» ou bien « How are you feeling ?» Comment te sens-tu ?« How are you feeling ?» Il se peut que le grand-père réponde « I feel old. » Je me sens vieux. « I feel old. » Ou bien encore « I feel terrible. » Je me sens terrible. « I feel terrible. » Et si vous voulez dire le contraire, vous allez dire à votre petit frère là « Isn't he terrific ?» N'est-il pas fantastique quand même ? Il a un sens de l'humour. « Isn't he terrific ?» Et vous tournez vers le grand-père et vous lui dites en souriant. Pour lui remonter le moral, vous lui dites « You look wonderful ». Vous avez l'air fantastique. « You look wonderful ». How do you feel? How are you? Are you healthy? Êtes-vous en bonne santé? Exercez-vous à demander ces mêmes questions et à donner des réponses à ces questions. Practice hard. Until next time.
Welcome to Anglais Télé. Bonjour et bienvenue à Anglais Télé. I'm Michelle Joseph and I have a special guest here.
Je suis Daniel Crafton. Bonjour aussi.
Bienvenue à Daniel Crafton. Welcome to Daniel Crafton, who is helping me in my lesson today. We're going to talk about basic forms of communication. Les formes les plus simples et les plus ordinaires de la communication.
Les vraies plus simples.
Très, très simple. We are starting at the bottom. Okay? Even though I think Dan likes television and radio. Or is it radio and television?
Radio and television.
Okay. But we're going to talk about basic human forms of communication. Okay, so for that, we have to go all the way back to the little baby.
Right? Drums.
Let's start. No, let's start.
Okay. Humble.
No, we're not going back to drums.
Okay.
Or, you know,
well,
the wind.
Communication.
It is. No doubt about that. But we're going to talk about how it begins with the little baby. Okay? Or between the baby and the mother.
Goo goo gaga.
Goo goo gaga.
Yeah. which means something.
Obviously, ooh, all yeah. those beautiful...
The baby knows what it means.
The baby is trying to communicate, even as tiny as they are. They are trying to reach out and express themselves, right?
Right.
And it's usually with sounds coming out of the mouth. So they're trying to copy talking. They're trying to mimic us.
And if they can't do it by talking, they'll pinch their mother.
Right, or they'll start screaming or kicking.
Right.
Okay, so talking really is one of the first means of...
Those are all forms of talking. Though.
Yes, talking. They start to copy the parents and everybody around.
Like you said, it all starts with sounds. There are no words at that stage.
No words. It starts with sound. With talking, we are talking with words... And with words, we
and
can...
And sounds.
Sounds.
And signs.
Signs. And we can make sentences that mean something. So, right?
Right.
Okay. And these sentences, these words, talking, they comprise of language.
Whatever language.
Right. So it could be any language, but...
Many languages.
Yeah. So language is the big... general definition.
And it's also a big barrier.
Yes, it's a big barrier because now we can go beyond that barrier. You had mentioned body language, Dan.
Right.
So if you're communicating in a non-verbal, I think that's the term, non-verbal communication.
Right.
So it's physical communication. So give us an example,
well,
Dan.
Like a mother might say to that child, now, son... Don't you be bad anymore.
Right.
And point her finger at him.
Right.
And say, now, you're bad. Or.
Careful.
Yeah. Don't steal the cookies anymore.
Right. I think that's international. Right. I think that's global.
Right.
When your mother's doing this, you better
and
watch
there,
it.
There, there's no language.
Right. This is.
That's everything. It's body language.
Body language. This threatening finger. Watch it. Be careful.
Or the mother. Like this. Yeah, like, son, come home on time.
All right, so we're going to quit on this little note here and move on to the next level of communication. Thanks, Dan. Stay with us, guys. Welcome back to Anglais Télé. Bienvenue à Anglais. Family Télé. I'm Michelle Joseph, and I have a guest with me.
Daniel Crafton.
Daniel Crafton, who joins us regularly to help.
Merci, Michelle.
Thank you. Merci beaucoup, and welcome. And you can find us on Anglais Télé in Facebook, Facebook Anglais Télé. Vous pouvez nous retrouver sur Facebook Anglais Télé. We are talking about the five senses, and we have reached touch, the sensation of touch. And I think that's also an amazing sense you can't describe. So with touch, you either use your hands or your feet or your skin. These are the vehicles through which we can touch and feel touch.
Right. And touch is very important because you can also feel cold and heat and pain.
Yes, absolutely.
Not a good touch. But
yeah, these are sensations that are the most common. Heat, la chaleur, cold,
right.
Le froid. Contact.
Heat, chaud.
Oui, absolument. And right. Pain, of course, none of us like pain.
No. With a needle, you stick
it. It hurts. Ça fait mal.
And if I take a pin and I stick it in my hand, I'm going to have pain.
Definitely. So,
and that's touch.
There's also pleasure. We can't forget that touch can be very pleasurable, very
right.
Wonderful. So this is a wonderful gift that we have through the way, you know, by just the way we are made.
Right.
I'm not going to go down into the scientific explanations here, well, but to touch.
There's good touch, too. I give you a hug. Or
yes, that's
like
good
this,
touch.
That's touch. Or we shake hands.
Right. And there's also to
touch.
Feel.
Yeah, right.
I feel cold.
And I feel warm because I've got a coat on.
Right.
And you don't.
To feel warm.
All right.
And if I pinch you,
then that's pain.
He will feel pain.
Right.
And that is all part of touch. Contact.
Right.
So there we are. So to touch someone, it can also be figuratively because you can touch someone, you know, and sentimentally.
You can touch someone and make them feel bad or good.
Right. So touch can also be
by
used
what you say.
In that
it has
manner.
Nothing to do in this case of hitting or pinching or anything
right,
like that.
Right.
It's by what you say and what you do.
Right. So words
makes them feel inside.
Words can
touch them.
Can touch us also. Right.
Make us cry.
Right.
Make us laugh.
So actually the other senses, the sight, the hearing, can also be part of touch.
They're all linked to touch.
Yes, they're all linked to touch, whether right. Physically or figuratively speaking.
Correct.
All right, so that's it for touch, guys.
And it works on your feet, too.
Yeah. Oh, I love.
On your skin at the beach.
We love to be touched.
Yeah, when you're at the beach, well, laying in the sun.
Absolutely. And what about babies? Babies are just wonderful to touch. And they need a lot of touching.
And they love it, too.
They love touching. Right. So human beings need touch.
Right. Very important.
Yeah, we can't live without touch.
I know.
Yeah.
It was a very interesting, I have to divert here. There was a very interesting touch thing that was done in one of the major magazines. It was Vogue or Mademoiselle or one of those magazines.
Uh-huh.
And they tested like 1,000 people at stores, mostly all women, for for touch in sales by sales representatives.
Okay.
And 500 of them were sold by the sales representative and not touched. The sales representative stayed 3 feet away, but was very nice. And the others were touched just like, come with me and look at this dress, or come with me and look at this suit. And the 500 that were touched, 90% were better sales than the others.
I see.
That's a real
right.
Fact.
It is. It's proof. It really is.
So touch is important and it works.
And, you know, I'm touching all of you out there so that you can learn better English. Is that
right?
Is that a good one?
That's the other touch inside, right?
Exactly. So here's my smile and I'm, you know,
here's
trying
mine.
To. And here's his smile.
Here's my smile.
He's touching you. So there we go.
You're right.
All right. So thanks.